Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through the first part of 7. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people but God, who tests our hearts. We know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority, instead we were like young children among you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you that we can come and just hear your word, God. We just ask that your spirit will just guide this time, that your spirit will just illuminate to us what it is that you have to share with each of us corporately and individually today, God. And we just humble ourselves before you to hear your words, Lord. And just thank you, and we pray, amen. So as I was reading this, there's a couple of things that stood out to me. But one of the things that we need to understand, and it's going back to what I shared last week, is that remember that there's people who are attacking Paul, right? They're not within the church. They're outside of the church. They're not believers. And they're trying to persuade the Christians, the new Christians there, that Paul is not a good person. One of the things to understand is that in the same time period, Thessalonia is a location in which a lot of trade would take place, trade routes. There was people of many cultures that lived in this city, right? It wasn't just one type of ethnicity, but it was multicultural. And along with that came with their religions. So when people came in, they came with their religions, and many of these religions were very much so religions of trying to bring people in, right? It wasn't here's our little group and we're cool with everybody else. Stay as you were. But they were all trying, well, I can't say all, but many of them were trying to persuade people to join their religion, their cults, whatever they were at that time. But the problem is many of the people that were, I guess you could say, missionaries or evangelists of their faith, they were doing it in such a way for their personal gain and greed. They would come in, what they would do, they would try to manipulate people to join their faith, and once they got what they wanted from people, they would leave. So basically, they came, they used, and then they would move on to the next person. There wasn't this faithfulness to that group. There wasn't this desire to build a faith that was genuine and whatever they believed, right? See, these are not Christians, other religions. And so Paul is coming in and he's reminding them in the light of people talking bad about Paul, look, I didn't come in to take anything from you. I didn't come with impure thoughts. When I presented the message, it was pure. What I presented to you, the gospel in its purity, was not about me. It was about God. His motivation wasn't for him to line his pocket with money, for fame, for any of those kind of things. But it was really the pure message. And I was thinking about this and I was wondering, can we say the same for ourselves? And I'm not just talking about the pastors of the church who are preaching or the missionaries we send out, but each of us individually. When we are presenting the gospel to people, what is our motivation? You know, and I think there's a lot of good things that we do it for, but is it, you know, I started pondering about this last night. Are we doing it so they can truly know God? Or are we doing it for ourselves? Are we doing it so we can say, look, I led 20 people to Christ, and we may not realize that underlying, I don't know what the right word in my mind right now is, but the underlying need for recognition. Look what I've done. Look what I did for the gospel, right? Now, Paul is describing what he's done for the gospel, but remember from last week, he's doing it because people are, once again, going against him, and he wants the gospel to be preserved. It wasn't for himself. It was for the gospel, right? But, you know, I don't want to judge, but you know when you have those big evangelistic movements, and they're like, we saved 1 million people in this city. I won't lie. I'm always like, did it really happen? Right? Like, what's the numbers about? You know, Nate talked about the numbers, right? And P. Sam not being concerned about numbers, right? But here, you know, are we doing it to puff ourselves up? Or even, and I know this one's really hard because it is our love that desires this, but, you know, when we lose a loved one, you're like, when you're trying to bring them to Christ, we're like, I just want to see them in heaven. That's not a bad thing, right? It's really not a bad thing. But is it the right motivation? Is it because we want them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it because God has called us to present that message? And so when we're talking about, you know, Paul here is talking about, I didn't come in to gain anything. It looks different for us potentially. Some of us, it may look exactly the same. You know, it could be our egos being fed. But here, are we actually reminding ourselves why we want people to come to Christ? And it's really easy, I feel, to slip into that it becomes about us instead of about God, right? And even all those things that are really good and really loving, we got to be careful to check our hearts, not to go point fingers at other people, right? But to check our hearts. Because here, you don't actually see Paul talking about the people and what they did. He's talking about himself. He's checking his own heart in many ways. You know, and Paul, part of the reason I think Paul could do that is because Paul was focused on pleasing God and not man. I was reading one person's interpretation about this, and the reason why Paul was able to do that is because Paul was so secure in Jesus, in his identity in Jesus, that he didn't need to seek recognition from anybody else. Now, I grew up in the church, I grew up going to Christian schools, and you hear it all the time. It's not about what, you know, like when there's bullies or when, you know, people, whatever it is, they're always like, don't worry about what people think of you, just dwell on Jesus, right? And honestly, I kind of think it gets a little much, because you're always like, oh, well, don't worry about what other people think, just worry about Jesus, because it becomes kind of a saying that you say and not something that you actually believe. Right? But here Paul is so grounded in his self-worth of God. Paul is able to understand his value doesn't come from what others are saying. His value doesn't come from what other people say. Now, I want to be clear, that does not mean we can just reject when people come and, you know, iron sharpens iron. The church is here to build us up. We can't be like, there was one time in house church where I was, and Sally was there for this, I was not leading house church yet. I came back, I rejoined Kowloon House Church, and our two leaders at the time were both away, and they said, hey, Mary, can you lead? And I was like, sure. And this one person, I won't say much about it, but went off on me. And all I did was ask them a question about their idea of community and God. And, I mean, I won't go into the great details, but it was, I think, honestly, the most interesting and weird and awful experience in house church I've ever had, because I was like, all I did was ask, so why do you believe it just has to be you and God and you don't have to worry about other people? And she turned in like, my friend tells me if someone makes me feel uncomfortable, I just have to ignore them. And then she stormed off and left the house church. Thank God she never came back. And anyways, but I remembering that time, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about people coming in and helping us grow and not worrying what they think. We're talking about where does our core belief in our identity come from? And Paul, the reason why Paul is able to just focus on God and not worry about pleasing man is because he was secure in his relationship with God. You know, I think it was Pete Andrew was saying something in the office, but one of the things that we get so frustrated when we read scripture is we're like, I just want to get to this point, right? Like in faith, look at Paul, like he's so strong. But you know, Paul didn't write this on day one of his faith. I think that's what Pete Andrew was saying. Like he didn't write these letters at the beginning of his faith, right? There was time, there was process. You know, this actually happens to be what most people believe is his first letter. Most scholars believe this was his first letter that he wrote for various reasons. But and it's dated around 50 AD, but just to give you perspective, right? Like, he had been walking with God for a while. You know, he had been with him. And there's no, just to be clear, that's just speculation on when it was written. But scholars believe it's sometime around there. But he had time to develop his faith to get to this point. You know, you don't have to instantly turn and find all your self-worth in Jesus. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. That'd be absolutely fantastic. But God builds that up. You know, when I was home, my childhood pastor, he's retired, but my brother was supposed to preach, but he was so sick. My brother's a missionary, and he was supposed to preach the first Sunday I was home, but he had been so sick that he called Jack, my childhood pastor, and said, "Can you cover for me?" Because the other two senior pastors of the church, they have two, they were both on vacation, and so that's why they asked my brother to preach. They're like, "Oh, the missionary's home. Let's use him," right? And so Jack was preaching, and he said something about when one of the disciples, they're talking about praying for them in the upper room, right? And they're praying because they had seen how the church had been getting persecuted and people had been killed. And they were shocked. I'm pretty sure it's Paul, but I'm blanking. I'm pretty sure it's Paul. Comes running to the door, right? Because he'd been rescued out of jail. Yeah, Paul. Peter. It's Peter. He is rescued out of jail, and people, they were shocked. They were shocked. And he's like, people have interpreted, and he said it's just something he's come upon now as he's been reflecting in his retirement, was that, were they shocked that Peter was released from jail because they had little faith? Or, because they were praying, were they praying that Peter would be faithful to the end? And so when he got released from jail, it wasn't a lack of faith in that God could save Peter, but it's what they had seen is that they were more concerned with him staying faithful to the end. And it's just a pondering point that he had. He wasn't saying that's exactly what happened. But you know, are we praying for our faith to be faithful to the end? Are we praying that we draw closer to God in all our... Are we more concerned to be alleviated from the trials in our life? You know, Paul was being persecuted. Paul was being called names. He was being black. You know, they were just saying all these terrible things about him. You know, he got beaten. He got thrown in jail. Was Paul concerned more about his personal suffering or being faithful to God until the end? And that message that Jack preached was really kind of, though I don't remember much about it, but that point, because I was helping watch my brother's kids, because they don't do well in church, But it struck me. Are we so concerned? There's nothing wrong with praying for healing, and there's nothing wrong with praying for different circumstances. But are we so concerned to remove the pain and the suffering in our life that we forget to pray to stay faithful to God through it? You know, and I think that's kind of where we need to start. That's maturity. When, yes, we can pray for the alleviation, but even so, draw close to God. And here we see Paul. He's not focusing on pleasing man, even in all these terrible circumstances, but he's so focused on God and his identity so wrapped into God's identity that he's able to not be so focused on the circumstances. You know, and even his turning of faith, right? Like, Paul was a devout Jew. I don't know if I would say so much he loved God. I don't know, because I've never met Paul. But I would say that Paul, before he became a Christian, he was so devout to his faith, to following it like faithfully. And so when he has that 180 conversion, right? I just can't imagine how freeing and eye-opening that would have been like. Because I've always heard about Jesus. I've always been surrounded about Jesus. And I just wonder if that's part of the reason why he had such a strong identity. to please only God and not man. Because he knew what his life without Jesus was like. Because he was trying to rid the world of Jesus. Right? For that person to become one of our greatest people to look to have the message come, you know, God speaking through. You know, Paul didn't use flattery and he didn't wear a mask. He didn't use flattery and he didn't wear a mask. He came in and he preached the solid word of God. Right? He makes that clear. He wasn't trying to make his own personal following. The word of God is what he was concerned about. You know, and this might be a little judgmental. I'm very particular about Sunday school curriculum. I am beyond particular. There are certain curriculums that are very popular in the Christian world today that I'm completely appalled by. And the reason why is not that the people who write it don't love God, but what they're presenting is more of a character, moral class lesson than presenting who Jesus was. You know, in all the research I've done about what to do and how to continue discipling children, they're like, you have to throw out moral teaching. Not what God calls us to behave like. But if your entire message is a behavioral modification, people aren't going to follow God for long. That is when the church is going to start falling apart. The goal and the key is to continually teach who God is and who they are in relationship with him. It's one of the reasons I love the curriculum, the one curriculum we use, because every week some of the characteristics of God, I think they're stretching a little bit. Like, you'll see, God is awesome. He is. But the story, I'm like, I don't know if that really connects. But out of 52 weeks, I think one or two where they're trying to stretch it a little bit, that's cool. But it's like, God is the healer. Jesus is Savior, right? And it keeps going back to that, who God is and how Scripture supports teaching us who God is. You know, and I think we need to remember, even when we're speaking to people, that we're not needing to use flattery. We're not trying to build who God is up. We are just trying to present who God is for people to understand who they are in him. You know, and it's okay for people to wrestle and question, and we need to leave room for that. Because if we're always just telling people, no, just do this, 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 their faith doesn't have a chance to grow. You know, and kids especially, they need to be, you know, little kids, you know, it's always why, right? My 3-year-old nephew this summer, why? And I finally would turn it back, why do you think? Because that's the only way we could get him to stop asking why. It was annoying. But you ever wonder, we try to stop the little ones from asking questions, right? Because it annoys us. But maybe when we try to stop them asking questions, we stop them from trying to understand who God is. You know? When we stop kids from asking those hard questions that we're a little uncomfortable with, we don't know how to answer, are we stifling them from wrestling with their own faith? And then, actually, I'm not going to touch on this last one. I'll touch on it next week. But yeah, I really, this morning, I'm wondering how many of you, I'm going to ask Matthew to come up, but are you wrestling with something? You know, are you wrestling with being secure in Jesus? Are you wrestling with trying to please man but not God? You know, I remember teaching GIC class and someone was talking about how hard it is not to join in the gossip at work. And I was like, just don't. Like, simply just don't. And like, you don't understand. It's so difficult. I'm like, well, and to be fair, I mean, I've joined in gossip at work too, so not to be hypocritical. But it's like, but we're called to not live the easy life. We're not called for comfort. We're called to follow God, even in the difficult and even in the comfort. Not to give up God in any of those spaces. So today, if you're wrestling with your identity, if you're wrestling with even why you preach the gospel to people, has it become about you? You know, just come to a place where, you know, either maybe you need to repent to God for making even your calling about yourself instead of him. And also just come to God and share your struggles with him. Share those areas of your faith, your walk that you're really wrestling with. You know, God can handle it. You don't have to be afraid to present your struggles with him. He already knows, but allow him just to work in you at this time.
turn our eyes on Jesus this morning, the author and the perfecter of our faith, as we meditate on that word. Just sing out his name and meditate on who he is, just like Mary said, just who he is.
Jesus, be the center, be my soul, be my life, Jesus.
Turn your heart to him. Sing out his name. Very simple worship this morning. Takes away our sins. We fix our eyes upon you this morning. Jesus, you are high and lifted up. Jesus, you are seated at the right hand of the Father. All the enemies are like a footstool under your feet. We sing to you this morning, just fixing our hearts upon you, God. Putting our hope in you this morning, God.
And so, God, as the song says, Lord, we just ask that you be our hope, that you be our center, God, Lord, that we can keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord, and that I just pray for everyone in this room's faithfulness to you, God, and whatever they're going through, Lord, whatever trials or even the good things that are happening in their life, God, that they will remain true to you, God, faithful to you in all circumstances, Lord, that they will finish this race well, God, and Lord, that it's not a sprint, but God, it's more like a marathon, Lord, where it's a journey. It's going to take us a while. So God, we pray, Lord, in this time, in this life, we remain faithful to you in all that we go through. So Lord, yes. And as before we turn to our prayer, let's just spend some time thanking God for all that he's done. Pray for those who are fighting cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's just pray for their healing. Let's just pray that God's Spirit will just lift them up today, that God's Spirit will just encourage them today in this fight. Pray for those in connection with our community who are sick but also do not know Jesus yet. Let's just really pray that they will have that saving encounter with God, that they can really experience his goodness. And let's just also pray for God's healing hand over their life. Pray for those who are suffering other infirmities. Let's just pray. You know, let's just pray that some of these names get removed from this list because of healing. Let's just really believe that God's going to move in our church, in our congregation, in our family and friends, that God will just bring his healing power. Pray for those seeking jobs. Let's just pray that in this waiting season that God will just continually provide for all their needs. And let's just pray that they will be able to discern correctly the job that God has called them to. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up SP Singapore, P. Sam Kim, SPIN, P. Salamat, Spill, Ernie, and SP New York, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's just pray for unity in their own congregations. Let's just pray for God's guidance, and let's just pray for encouragement that can only come from God for each of these leaders. Lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just really pray that God will instill in each of our young through our all the way up through adulthood that they will really know God. They'll be able to safely question the things that are on their heart. And let's just be a church that embraces what they want, their wonder and their desire to know more. Lift up our prayer and healing teams under Matt and Rachel, IP, the Well and River. Let's just lift up their teams. Let's just, also this weekend they're heading to Singapore to really help train up the river there. And so let's just pray especially over Rachel and Matt as they make this trip. And let's just continue to lift up our servants, those who are serving in these ministries, that God will continue to just reside in them and build them up. Lift up our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homies. Let's just pray for continued building of relationships amongst those we are serving and our people. Let's just pray that God's light will really be seen in this city and his hope will be just desired amongst those who we're ministering to. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's really just pray for our city. Let's intercede. Let's just pray for just such wisdom and discernment from all parties. Let's just pray for God's peace to fall in this city. Let's just pray for each side, each group to see the other with God's eyes, to see who they are. And let's just really pray for peace in this city. Finally, let's lift up the Korean mission trip. Let's pray as they're finishing out the last few days. Let's just pray that for strength and energy for their team. And let's just pray that they will be able to yeah, just be able to be light in that place. And we'll let's pray as they come back to Hong Kong this weekend for their safe return. So God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for a chance to serve you. God, we thank you for a chance to walk in the streets of Hong Kong, just being light. God, I pray, Lord, as we go to wherever we're going, our workplaces, Lord, that we will just be able to see and love the people around us in the way you called us to. And Lord, I pray as we go about our time, Lord, that we can be rest assured in our identity in you. God, that we don't do anything to please man, but God, that we do it all to glorify you. And so, Lord, even in the questions and even in the struggles and the difficulties, God, help us remain faithful to you. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time and a great day.